This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. After Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders openly endorsed Hillary Clinton as the party nominee, many contended that the Democratic Party platform was the most progressive it's ever been, and that that was a result of Sanders' candidacy. Well, on at least one point, the party's platform looks quite progressive. One of the planks agreed to shut down the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, or WINSEC, formerly known as the School of the Americas. WINSEC is a U.S.-based notorious training school for soldiers from primarily Latin American countries that have engaged in systemic human rights abuses. The group SOA Watch has been doggedly attempting to shut it down for years. My guest is Henrik Voss. He is the national organizer with School of the Americas Watch. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much for joining us. So is this indeed the first time that the platform has ever included this? Has a Democratic Party ever come close to even, you know, saying the name WINSEC? Because it's not very much talked about by elected officials.
It is. This is the first time that it is in the platform of the National Democratic Party. We had previously successes to get it into local and state parties, that there were grassroots activists who included the demand into the local and state platforms. And also there is a lot of the people in the base of the Democratic Party, progressive folks who are union organizers, who are connected to faith communities, civil rights groups, have pushed for the Democratic Party to take the stance on. This includes the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the NAACP, the AFL-CIO, a lot of mainstream unions who are really, have pushed for it. So, but this is the first time that the Democratic Party actually agreed to have this in their plank.
And for those in our audience that may not be familiar, can you give us a very brief nutshell of the training school that used to be called School of the Americas, hence the name of your group, SOA Watch, which has now essentially been renamed as a way to whitewash over it? What does the school do? What has it done?
The School of the Americas is a U.S. military training school for Latin American soldiers, and its graduates have consistently been involved in human rights abuses, in massacres, in repression of social protests, repression against unionists throughout the Americas. And for the last 25 years, there has been a movement that has grown that calls for the closing of the School of the Americas. And we were actually on the cusp of shutting it down back in 2000 when Congress voted to shut down the school. However, then in the conference committee between House and Senate, the funding was restored, and the Pentagon issued their own proposal that they said they would close down the school, but open up a new school, basically with the same mission, the same instructors in the same building, just with a different name, as you mentioned earlier. It's now called the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, but the mission is still the same thing. They are still using military repression to deal with social problems. It's a Pentagon's way of controlling the people of Latin America.
So earlier in the week, we had covered ongoing violence in Honduras, where yet another environmental activist was killed. This was 4 months after Berta Cáceres, a very well-known, high-profile, internationally renowned activist, had been killed. And that's a country with the highest homicide rate in this hemisphere. A country in 2009 had a coup that was backed by the U.S. How do you link ongoing violence in Honduras, particularly after the coup, to WINSEC, the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation?
Yeah, if this institute wouldn't be around and if the U.S. wouldn't have intervened throughout Latin America to push down social movements, Latin America would look very different today. But it's, the best and the brightest have been killed, have been murdered by military regimes that have been installed. And the same thing happened in Honduras. In 2009, the president was enacting some very progressive reforms. He was raising the minimum wage and was working with social movements on a constitutional assembly that was supposed to allow the people of Honduras to decide their own fate, to have self-determination, to decide their own constitution. Given that the current constitution was installed by the outgoing military government, so once they tried to do that, this is when School of the Americas graduates swooped in, arrested the president in his palace, in the presidential palace, flew him out of the country in his pajamas. And at that point, a big resistance movement grew up in Honduras. A lot of sectors of civil society came together to push for democracy and to push for the return of Manuel Zelaya. And it was very possible at that point, and because the entire OAS was very much united in supporting the democratic process and supporting the democratically elected president. But it was the Clinton State Department who was very much on the other side at that time and who worked with the coup plotters, who worked with the coup government, and in the end worked so that the coup succeeded. And the result of that is what we see today, that hundreds of environmentalists, human rights activists have been murdered. And yeah, the situation in Honduras is at an all-time low, and it's very sad what is happening.
So it's ironic that at the time that the Democratic Party platform draft, I should say, this is a draft, has adopted an amendment to close down the training school formerly known as the School of the Americas, that the party at the same time has a presumptive nominee who was basically in favor of this coup in Honduras. I mean, this is just one country. Is there some interesting irony here? And I'm wondering if Hillary Clinton just sort of hopes people don't link her to the actions of School of America's Watch graduates? School of America's graduates?
Yeah, Clinton has even defended her role in the Honduran coup, that she was caught red-handed when the emails came out when the emails were released. And it says that she sent an email that says, let's get Lenny Davis involved, the Clinton lawyer, who then became a PR person for the coup government in Honduras to do the bidding here in Washington, D.C. So she has been very hawkish and has been very bad on Latin America policy. And also, we are not naive. We don't have any illusions that she would now come around, given that the platform is calling for the closure of the School of the Americas. But we are going to use this, and we are going to hold elected officials accountable to what this platform calls for, because it's a sign that also now that even within the mainstream of the Democratic Party, that calls are getting louder against military solutions and against the kind of foreign policy that the Clinton State Department has been driving.
When Clinton was confronted about this coup by journalists, and why her State Department so quickly embraced the new post-coup government when everyone else the world over was condemning it as an attack on democracy, her response was something to the effect of, well, you know, we give Honduras a lot of aid, and if we hadn't accepted the post-coup government, that aid which poor Hondurans rely on would have been cut off. What do you make of that?
Right, this was back then that the Clinton State Department refused to call it a military coup, even though it was the military that raided the presidential palace, that flew the president out. So, and they, in order to keep to keep the aid going and to support the coup government, they just refused to name the coup a coup in order to not having to enact those restrictions. And it was because they wanted to support the coup plotters. They wanted to have the new people in power who were much more friendly to U.S. interests. Because the outgoing or the president who was deposed of by the military coup, also part of his plans was to end the use of the U.S. military, of the military base Palmarola in Honduras. So the U.S. was about to lose one of their military bases. And then, the State Department foreign policy elite was not going to let that happen either. So therefore, they were very much in favor of the coup regime.
So, Hendrik, what really does it mean for the Democratic Party's draft platform to include this amendment that WINSEC, the formerly known as the School of the Americas, should be shut down? First of all, it's still in draft format, so it has to be adopted and formally voted on. But second of all, the party platforms are generally sort of symbolic affairs, as they don't hold party members' feet to the fire on the issues, right?
Correct. It's a non-binding party platform, but still it is symbolic that we see that this is for the first time that now the party platform is calling for the closing of the school. So we will use this to need grassroots power in order to enforce things like that. We are under no illusions that politicians now will start to do our work for us, but we have to mobilize, we have to organize, and we have to build power that makes places like the School of the Americas and then makes the support for the Honduran coup government politically not possible for the State Department and for the foreign policy elites and for the Democratic Party.
How much has the Democratic Party, how much have Democratic elected officials sort of kept this school around? Or is this something that at this point is at the behest of the Pentagon? Is there a tension between the U.S. military and elected officials over this school, at least simply because it's kind of embarrassing to have the school around?
There is. The school is very important to the Pentagon because it's their way of controlling the people of Latin America by controlling the armies and controlling the resources through that. So after the Pentagon renamed the school and they said, oh, from now on, we will have the stringent vetting process that no more human rights abusers will receive training at the school. After that, we did some research and pretty immediately we found again names of known torturers, drug traffickers, who were still invited back to the school and who received their training. We made that information available to Congress, and the Pentagon response at that point was to deny access to the names to any human rights organization. So they denied our Freedom of Information Act requests, and afterwards Congress actually voted that the names have to be made public. The House of Representatives overwhelmingly passed an amendment that says the names have to be public. So, but then the Pentagon managed to get language into the final bill that says, yes, the names have to be made public unless the Secretary of Defense signs a waiver that says that it's national security interest that the name should not be released. And of course, a democratically appointed Secretary of Defense, he signs a waiver. And so the names were not being released. So this is why we are currently taking the Obama administration to court to fight for the release of the names, to fight for transparency.
How has President Obama been on this issue of the School of the Americas?
We've had a meeting, SOA Watch organized a meeting with a member of Congress, Jim McGovern, and torture survivors, religious leaders, to meet with Dennis McDonough, who is the White House Chief of Staff. And he did not move at that point. He even said that he says the positives outweigh the benefits of the School of the the positives outweigh the negatives of the School of the Americas.
Wow.
He had the gall to say that to a survivor, to somebody who lost their children in Guatemala. So it was, so he didn't move, but we still continue to push also for an executive order that would shut down the School of the Americas. And we hope also now with the backing of the party platform of the Democratic Party that also we can use that and give that to the White House and say that now in the lame duck session, in the lame duck season before they go out, this is one of the things they should do amongst a lot of other things. Also, Guantanamo needs to be shut down. And those are things that the Obama administration could do without, the closing of the School of the Americas doesn't have any grassroots opposition. So there's the Pentagon, of course, who's fighting for it, but it would be something that the Obama administration could do very easily. So we are,
without paying a political price for it, except
absolutely
with the Pentagon. And I'm wondering if, given Clinton's history as Secretary of State, given her close relationship with Henry Kissinger that she boasts about, how would a President Hillary Clinton be on Latin American foreign policy and the School of the Americas? I can't imagine that she would be any better than Obama. If anything, she might likely be far more hawkish on Latin America than Obama was.
Absolutely, that is our analysis as well, that it's scary times with, if Clinton would become president, it's scary times for Latin America foreign policy. After the coup in Honduras, we saw that there was friction between the White House and the State Department. I mean, who knows how much of that also is theater, but at meetings with Western Hemisphere people from the White House, they very much let it shine through that there was a conflict between the White House and the State Department, but that in the end, the Obama administration was letting the State Department handle it their way, which meant that the coup government stayed in place. So we are very concerned about Hillary Clinton's stance, not just on the School of the Americas and Honduras, but on Latin America foreign policy and foreign policy in general.
So finally, Hendrik, are the annual demonstrations against School of the Americas ongoing? This is, by the way, an institute that's the training camp, which is located near Fort Benning in Georgia. Is that annual occurrence still happening? If so, how can our audience get involved if they're interested in traveling and joining you?
Yeah. This year, actually, we are doing something new because we are moving up the November vigil to October 7th to 10th. So that is taking place before the November elections. And we are moving it to the militarized U.S.-Mexico border to also talk about the militarization of the border and to call out U.S. foreign policy and U.S. militarization in Latin America as one of the primary root causes of migration, that a lot of people have to flee from Latin America. Right now, there are thousands of people from Honduras who have to flee their country because of the violence that is a result of the U.S.-supported military coup. And they are coming to the U.S. only to be confronted by the militarized border and then by the racist immigration system. So we are making those connections. Also to say that the issue is bigger than just the School of the Americas, but it is about U.S. foreign policy. It's about immigrant detention, racism, and the militarized border wall. So we will be in Nogales from October 7th to 10th. And more information about that is on our webpage at soaw.org/border, where we are going to update all the information that is becoming available in the next couple of weeks.
So October 7th through 10th in Nogales. October 7th, incidentally, is the 15th anniversary of the U.S. war in Afghanistan. So we'll put information and links to your website on our website later today. Hendrik, thank you so much for all you do and for joining us.
All right, thank you so much.
Hendrik Voss is the national organizer with School of the Americas Watch. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.